People who compose music can live in fear of the accusation that they are copying someone else's work. There's always the chance that you heard something maybe years ago and it somehow lodged and comes out in a composition later. Well, songwriter Dua Lipa has just secured the dismissal of a legal case in which she was accused of copying for the hit single Levitating. Brian McPreety is a forensic musicologist based in California. So, first of all, does he agree with the judge's verdict?
I do. In a really simple musical sense, yeah, this absolutely to me is the correct verdict.
Okay, well, let's see if we agree with you and the judge. We can hear all the music involved. So first of all, Dua Lipa and Levitating. If you want to run away with me, I know a galaxy and I can take you for a ride. I had a premonition that we fell into a rhythm where the music don't stop for life. Okay. And then the people who accused her had two songs, which they said that was derived from, Wiggle and Giggle All Night, which I'm sure you're familiar with, and Don Diablo. Here we go. I was walking down the street when I saw the handsome soldier boy winkle, winkle, winking at me. He said, I'd like to make a date. I said,
esconde los cajones de la presa que decida conseguir.
Well, I've got to say, I can sort of see that point. What do you think?
Sure. You can see the point. There is obviously an observable similarity, the series of rapidly sung notes in both of those melodies. Often four at a time on one pitch and then four at a time on another pitch and so forth. So they have that similarity in common. One of the things that you have to consider is that infringement requires copying, first of all. It's not just a matter of similarity, but if one song is written in an absolute vacuum and wasn't copied from the other, say the writer of the latter tune wasn't familiar with the former tune, then they couldn't have copied it. So we have to often infer copying by the overwhelming evidence of the similarity of the tunes. And when we look at these tunes, well, you see that observable similarity, but the music elements are extremely simple. The rapidly sung notes are of uniform durations, and they're in nice, neat little groups four at a time. And those kinds of things can be found in other works. So when you're trying to draw a dotted line to an inspirational song, you could draw it elsewhere. And that takes us away from that inference that song two was copied from song one.
Exactly. And we can sort of demonstrate this now, because we've put together some... I've not heard this yet, so I'm hearing it for the first time. I think we've got three in a row. So tell me if you can work out who these are.
I am the very model of a modern major general. I've information, vegetable, animal, and mineral. I know the people...
Quite good. So who are those three? What do you think?
Right. So the Gilbert and Sullivan...
In the middle.
And the Bee Gees at the end. And was the first part, was that Mozart? Was that the Figaro?
Well done. You're a very good musicologist. Do you see the parallels with those as well? I mean, because I think this is what the judge was saying, was, look, you know, there's no evidence that they were copied from there. It's just how it is. I do remember speaking to a composer who said that's the trouble, is that there's only so much out there that you can use in a song. And it seems counterintuitive in a way. But, you know, it is very easy to come up with the same stuff that other people have come up with before.
Yeah, there are plenty of possibilities for original melodies, but unfortunately only so many of them are pleasant for us to listen to. The practical availability of melodies is a lot smaller than the mathematical possibility of melodies, if that makes any sense.
Which of our three bits of music did you most enjoy?
Well, I love the Bee Gees, so that one.
So there, as a gift to Brian McBreety for his interesting comments, we'll leave him with the Bee Gees.